Welcome to Adult Spoo Disney! Spooky Halloween edition. I'm Leering Lindsay Scareman!
And I'm Lawrence... Oh no! Win. Should we stop doing the silly voices now?
Yeah, because actually our real voices, they're quite Disney villain, aren't they?
Yeah, we are the sound of evil in the Disney universe, aren't we, already?
Yeah, slightly posh English.
Just by virtue of being posh, well-spoken, slightly camp English people.
Although, actually, I think I'm more of a sidekick because I'm incredibly nasal.
Right,
I see. And I think only sidekicks have such sinus problems.
They don't have any villains with sinus problems. Hades from Hercules, he's kind of a bit more nasal.
Is he?
Yeah, well, he's very Jewish, isn't he? So he's a bit more like that. He's kind of...
Oh, he's my Jewish lady impression.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
I love your friend. I'm not going to do that again. Actually, you can. Yeah, you're good at impressions. So give us a scar.
A scar impression.
Scar impression.
One step beyond.
Not SKA Lawrence.
Scar
from the Lion King.
From the Lion King. Oh, he's Jeremy Irons, isn't he? He's quite hard.
Yeah, because he's sort of a bit like Alan Rickman, you pointed out.
Yeah, he is. He's all at the back of the throat like this.
But then he can open up his mouth more.
And he does more of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Be prepared! All of that business, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway.
Really hamming it up, chewing the scenery, I like that.
Yeah, he does a lot of chewing the scenery.
Yeah. So anyway, this week, what are we doing? We're talking about the Halloween celebrations in the Disney parks.
Indeed. We're talking about what is actually currently happening in all of the Disney parks. In the real world, and of course, as is now traditional, what we would do if we were in charge of the
backseat
Disney parks.
Backseat Imagineering!
That's what we're known for now, I think.
I love it!
So... Halloween, of course.
Also, I've had the best idea, but, you know, you'll have to wait for it.
All right, well, we'll come to that.
It's the best idea ever.
So, yeah, plenty of special events and ride overlays and food, seasonal bits and bobs happen in all of the Disney parks around the world at Halloween.
What do you mean by overlay?
Well, so certain attractions will be sort of temporarily rethemed to give them a more spooky feel, such as the new Guardians of the Galaxy ride in Disney California Adventure, is now a Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout Monsters After Dark, which is creepier.
That's a very long title. So
it is.
This overlay, how deep does it go?
Well, it depends. I mean, certain things go deeper than others. Like in the Haunted Mansion in California, they completely, ever since 2001, they've completely changed the whole feel of that ride and made it explicitly a Nightmare Before Christmas themed ride.
What, just for about... How long does it last for?
So it goes
Halloween
from...
in Disney?
Well, in Florida, at least, Halloween starts on August 25th.
The spookiest month of the year.
Yes. Yeah. It's not the same all around the world. In Paris, it's a lot shorter. It's basically September to November, which makes more sense.
Okay.
But yeah, in Florida, it starts in August.
Because we're going to Disneyland Paris next week, aren't
we? We are.
So
we're going to
bring Halloween will be over then.
Yes, that's true.
We're in the sweet, cheap spot in between Halloween and Christmas.
Yeah, it lasts about 5 minutes, and that's when we're going.
And it's super cheap.
Yeah. So, yeah, so, but like, it depends. Because some attractions get a complete overhaul, like the Haunted Mansion.
Yep.
And they get totally rethemed with, you know, different animatronics and show elements and effects and whatnot. And sometimes they just sort of put some pumpkins around.
Right.
And that's all they
you
do.
You don't like that, do you?
No, I don't. I have the weird thing about... I think I seem to be the only person in the world that doesn't like what the Disney parks do at Halloween.
Yeah, because we were discussing this, trying to get to the bottom of our psychological kind of... revulsion is too strong a word, but...
distaste.
Distaste for this sort of Halloween overlay thing.
Yeah.
And we think it's actually because it is for kids, isn't it?
I think so.
And I loved Halloween as a kid. And I'm not that keen on it as an adult. So, well, I quite enjoy looking at other people's pumpkins carved into interesting shapes and stuff or whatever. But I just can't get that excited
about
it.
Well, so, like, what is it? What Halloween for kids is about pumpkins and spiderwebs and going around stealing sweets off people.
And getting to pretend to be spooky themselves.
Yeah, you get to dress up and have fun and have parties and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's all good
and
fun.
And bobbing for apples and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's an arts and crafts element to it that you really love as a kid, isn't
it? Yeah, kids are all about the arts and crafts.
Yeah.
But then as an adult, You said,
can't be bothered, can you?
Well, Halloween as an adult is about dressing sexy and getting pissed.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I can dress sexy and get pissed anytime I want.
So why do you need the permission of a arbitrary festival?
Yeah.
Based on some kind of long gone English tradition.
Yeah, and it's kind of getting pissed, dressing sexy, and occasionally handing sweets out to kids. I mean, it's such a weird combination.
It's a strange festival.
Yeah, yeah.
The slutty sweet distribution festival.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in the Disney parks, you can't really do dressing sexy and getting pissed, really, in the same way.
No,
so they have to focus, presumably, on their main target audience, which is children. Ugh.
Boo.
Boo.
That's not what this is about.
No.
Boo to you.
So, and actually, we worked out that the reason, probably why this is all so popular, is kids love the actual slightly tackier elements of Halloween, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I did. I love the tackier elements of Christmas as a kid as well. I liked tinsel and chintz and all the rest of it. I didn't like tasteful decorations. I didn't see the point of them.
So if you think about it, yeah, what the things that are magical about Christmas are, yeah, certain decorations coming out that you feel an affinity towards. So you every family has got like a box of stuff in the attic or whatever that
it's all bright and colourful and it's fun and it's
and you only see it once a year and it's not necessarily that good, but it's associated with happy memories and
stuff. People's attempts at making Christmas sophisticated and they haven't tried to do this for Halloween yet. Well, maybe they have.
Oh,
I don't
maybe
know.
They have.
But you know when they have like a twig and they put some very muted lights around this twig.
You're
and
talking
they're
about
like
the,
this is our Christmas.
You're
story
talking about the IKEA Christmas tree, essentially, which is just a bit of barren wood.
Yeah, exactly. It's like this isn't fun. This tree is dead.
And
I mean, it's more obviously dead than the tree you put in your house.
Than the kind of cadaver that you normally have in your house.
Yeah, yeah.
But
then festooning this sort of desiccated corpse with tasteful lights.
It looks a little bit like something from The Road, or it's like a post-apocalyptic Christmas, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think go hard or go home for Christmas.
Yeah, right on.
Tinsel all the way.
Yeah. So thinking about that, kids.
And it's the same for Halloween, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. That was what I was getting at. Kids are more excited probably by the things that look like what they associate with Halloween parties than adults would be, certainly.
Yeah.
So pumpkins and
cobwebs.
Cobwebs, sort of quite dodgy looking cobwebs, to be honest. And sort of cardboard cutouts of bats and stuff.
Oh, and seeing things that you're familiar with made spooky.
Yeah.
Oh, look, there's Goofy, but he's got a couple of sharp teeth.
But he's spooky Goofy.
Who's wearing a cape?
He's dressed as a skeleton. Skeleton Goofy.
He's sexy Goofy.
Yeah. Oh,
sexy maid outfit Goofy.
So it's kind of, I don't know, I find personally, a lot of the Halloween things that Disney parks do are often at odds with their surroundings, and I don't like it. It feels inconsistent.
Oh, well, because the surroundings are very beautiful.
Well, I mean, take Frontierland in Disneyland Paris. Very, very beautiful land. Weirdly, completely free of intellectual property, really, at the moment. There's nothing there that isn't kind of truly original. And then you have a stunning attraction like Phantom Manor, which then gets covered in a load of, like, tacky pumpkins and stuff.
Well, that's mad as well, because that's taking a haunted house and then going, and now we're going to make it spooky.
It makes it substantially less spooky. And also, we were saying yesterday, it doesn't really make sense, because the point of those pumpkins traditionally is to ward off evil spirits, isn't it? So if you have a house that no one lives in, that's abandoned, full of evil spirits, why would they be putting pumpkins out?
Shall I do my brilliant idea?
Well, should we come to that later? Because we should talk about...
Okay.
Hold on to that. Hold that thought.
So, so let's go through how the different parks do Halloween.
Yeah, yeah.
So Anaheim.
Yeah.
So Disney California.
Well, yeah, so recently the shift has been towards the Disney California Adventure Park in Anaheim, as opposed to the original Disneyland Park for Halloween.
So Halloween is in different sections of each park?
Well, it kind of. I mean, like, for instance, you don't go into Tomorrowland and see pumpkins all over it. They just don't do that.
No.
So they choose which areas of the park get the Halloween treatment.
Totally could, though. You could have robot pumpkins.
Yeah, you could. Maybe they should.
Yeah.
But traditionally it was sort of more present in Disneyland, and it's now recently sort of shifting more over towards Disney California. California Adventure.
Well, that's I suppose actually game. As well, it's got to be based in something old, isn't it? Or you know, it's got an older aesthetic.
I suppose so, because we're talking about the ghosts of the dead, aren't we?
Essentially? Yeah.
Spirits of the past.
The spirits of the future.
Yeah, it doesn't really do that. It doesn't really make any sense.
And you can't have Snow White but dead. Ooh,
yeah, well, maybe you could. I don't know. That would be interesting. But,
yeah. But so, where is it in Anaheim?
So these days, it's now kind of mostly in the California Adventure Park, and they've done a lot of seasonal overlays, like as we said, the Guardians of the Galaxy, Mission Breakout, Monsters After Dark.
That's very Universal-esque.
It is quite. Yeah, it's a kind of a scare attraction. I mean, you know, that ride is always a thrill ride, isn't
it? Yeah, and always quite Universal-esque.
It is quite, yeah. And the sort of the Marvel thing, the comic book thing, it still feels more like Universal than Disney to me.
I think that's too many layers, though. I mean, you've got Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Mission Breakout, whatever that means.
Well, that's the name of the ride. Guardians of the Galaxy is the franchise, and that's the name of the ride.
Okay, whatever.
Because they're breaking out of the collection of Benicio del Toro's character. That's the theme of the ride.
Okay, yeah.
Whatever that means.
I mean, whatever film Mission Breakout is from.
Who knows what that is?
No one. Yeah. No one knows. Not even the people who made it. And then you've got Monsters After Dark.
Yeah,
so I do think there's still too many layers.
Yeah, it's too much punctuation in the name of one.
I mean, are they monsters or are they aliens? I mean, if this is the galaxy, they should be aliens, shouldn't they?
Well, but they're
Monsters After Dark. And after dark, the universe is dark all the time. Unless you're near a star, and then it's light.
Yeah, good point.
So it doesn't make any
sense. Yeah, you really cocked that up, Imagineers.
Yeah,
good luck. So the theme of that ride is now that for the Halloween season, I think it's going to stop being Monsters After Dark very soon after October 31st, which is today, at the point of recording. So for this duration of this time, it's the idea is that you are in the collection of Benicio del Toro's character. In Guardians of the Galaxy, and everything has escaped. All of the monsters and stuff have all broken free of their cages.
They're aliens.
They're aliens. Well, they're monstrous aliens.
And actually, they're probably sentient beings. With
Do you think they're just misunderstood, like the tardigrade in the new Star Trek series?
Yeah, well, nobody thinks about.
Has anyone stopped to ask
the family and friends of the tardigrade?
Yeah. Has anyone stopped to ask these monsters whether they're actually monsters?
Actually, that is what they ask in Star Trek, though, isn't
it? Well, that's Star Trek, though. That's a more thoughtful thing than Guardians of the Galaxy.
True. Anyway,
so the idea is that they've all broken out and you have to save Groot, the little plant man, from all the monsters and get out alive. That's the current Halloween theming of the Guardians of the Galaxy ride. And also in Disney California Adventure, they have given Radiator Springs, which is the Cars-themed section of the park, a huge Halloween makeover with loads of silly puns. And things like that.
Oh, nothing says spooky, the dead are rising, than a pun.
Than a pun, and all puns.
What kind of car puns?
Well, it's called Halloween, like a toe whore.
Putting the whores in Halloween?
No, a hall spelled H-A-U-L, so it's hall. You know?
Whore.
Yeah, no, not Halloween.
I was about to say, that's
pretty full on for Disney, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, but so it's all like, that's like a tow truck pun, isn't it?
Right.
And there's lots of other puns which I can't remember. But yeah, so that has been given a load of new Halloween theming in Cars Land. There's like a vampire version of Mater the tow truck. And they've put...
There's so many urban myths they could have done with the cars, though. You know, the whole... Oh, he was in the back seat the whole time.
Oh, right. What, kind of ghost stories and things?
Yeah. Where you break and there's a sort of ghost child in front of you or whatever.
Oh, yeah. A little bit frightening.
Oh, no, my car's broken down. I need to find shelter.
Oh, yeah, like the Rocky Horror Show kind of. Yeah, well, there's a lot you could do with that, but that's kind of veering out of the Cars universe.
Yeah, it requires the cars to be occupied by...
It does, yes, and the cars are sentient in that. And actually, that's a good point. What they've done there with cars is they've basically made it in that land be as if all the cars themselves are having a Halloween party.
Yeah.
So you've got the tow truck is dressed as Dracula.
Yeah, a lot of this feels like stick a cape on them. Yeah, well, this is... I've had some teeth.
Are you doing Ratzenberger again?
He was trying.
Yeah, put a cape on him. Put some teeth on him. Yeah, but I just think it's... this is my problem with it. I think it doesn't fit with the very well-designed, beautifully crafted landscape a lot of the time. Because obviously these overlays are going to be cheap and temporary and not designed to last and not as well-made as everything else, of course.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm still having mixed
feelings.
It depends
what you want at Halloween, doesn't it? That's
yeah,
what we're
it does.
Getting at, and it's not really what...
One thing they have got in California Adventure, which is quite good, is the Headless Horseman statue from Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or rather from Mr. Toad and the Headless Horseman.
And actually, the Halloween treats, I've been following the food blogs.
Oh, have
stuff.
You? What have they got?
Just a load of really nice looking stuff.
What, like sort of candy apples and things? Or?
Oh, it's things like, well, they've made a lot of things black. So there's a lot of black cakes and stuff.
Oh, nice,
and,
yeah.
With raspberry sauces and things. Yeah, but yeah. Also, it's just really well done. Like, there's a villain's... line of cupcakes.
Oh, nice, nice, good.
And oh, and there's things like macaroni and cheese and a pumpkin and things.
Oh,
like
that's
that.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and they, also in Disneyland Paris at the moment, they're selling pumpkin soup on Main Street from the popcorn stands.
Oh, cool.
You can also get pumpkin soup.
Yeah.
Fresh pumpkin soup. That's quite nice.
That is cool. And actually, it's going to be a bit chilly in Paris. So...
Yeah, so a nice thing of soup is a good little snack for when you're walking around.
Oh, I wish they did things like hot toddies and things.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah, no, I don't think they do.
Anyway, yeah. Going off the subject.
Yeah, so the Headless Horseman there, and also Oogie Boogie has a big presence in California Adventure at the moment.
Nice.
So here's a big statue of him over the sign as you walk in fact.
Right.
With lots of glittering bats and stuff. It's all quite dramatic and cool.
So what about the Haunted Mansion in California?
Well, yeah, so we talked about that briefly, didn't we? Yeah, so in California and in Tokyo as well, because those attractions are very similar, the Haunted Mansion... becomes Nightmare Before... Well, it becomes Haunted Mansion Holiday is what it's called, which is a Nightmare Before Christmas themed ride. So you have new temporary animatronics of Jack Skellington and Sally and Oogie Boogie. And it's basically telling the story of Jack's adventures as Sandy Claus in the film. So
see, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I
that's
would be
cool.
Well on board for that.
Yeah, and actually
that's not an overlay, is it? That's more like a proper concerted effort to change it.
Well, it's a different ride, essentially.
New.
I mean, it's kind of as much. Yeah, well, there's overlays, and then there's things where you feel like they really have changed the ride quite dramatically. Like
that almost sounds to me like a bit of a tester as well. Like I wouldn't be surprised if they actually introduced a Nightmare Before Christmas ride.
Well, maybe they will, because it's been happening since 2001. That
well, that's quite a long time, isn't
it? That's like 16 years.
So maybe they want some way of differentiating the Haunted Mansion from the rest of the year to Halloween night.
Yeah, I guess so.
To bring people in.
And maybe they reckon that the Nightmare Before Christmas is too seasonal.
Yeah, maybe.
Because like it's Halloween and Christmas, so it's a very good seasonal overlay, isn't it? They can have it basically half the year. In Disney terms, it can be this thing.
I'm just going to blow my nose in a spooky fashion.
All right, you do it.
Sorry.
Should we have some spooky music while you blow your nose?
I'll try and do it like a trumpet solo to a spooky soundtrack.
Have you finished?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what about Florida?
Well,
Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween
Party. Oh yeah, so that's the big thing in Florida.
Not So Scary. I mean, it's even in the title. Don't worry, everyone, it's lame.
It's pretty much what it's saying, isn't it?
Yeah. So you've got to pay extra for it as well.
Yeah, so cool. Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party is a special evening event that happens all the way from August 25th to November 1st. That's ridiculous.
That is.
And it's expensive. It's like, it's basically the cost of another ticket. So during that time, they close Magic Kingdom early, and then you have to have another ticket from 7 p.m. Onwards, which gets you access to the park until midnight.
Every night they close it early.
Not every night. So select nights.
Oh, that's all right then. Because if you had a ticket between August 25th and November the 1st, and it closed early, and you got kicked out. Unless you bought another ticket.
Yeah, you'd be annoyed,
you'd
right?
You'd be very annoyed.
No, but it's not every night.
Okay.
So it says on the website from $74. Though I checked it last night and, I mean, today obviously it's completely sold out because this is Halloween night. But there was still some tickets available for tomorrow night, November the 1st. And they were $96 at the time of recording. So that's pretty steep. And given that you only get 5 hours in the park, I think that's pretty steep.
That is. Although I can totally see you doing it.
I mean,
we lived in the area, we'd do it at least once.
Yeah, probably, wouldn't we? And there's a few special events that only happen during this time. Like the Hocus Pocus villain Spelltacular show.
Oh, all the puns.
I know. Spelltacular. That's pretty good.
Is it?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's very Halloween. It's what
they
didn't
go for spooktacular.
No, which would have been better, wouldn't it?
And yeah. Maybe it's a bit overdone, spooktacular.
Spooktacular. Well, so, I suppose it's spelltacular because they're witches, aren't they? Hocus pocus.
There's another one called Cadaver Dans.
Well,
look,
the Cadaver Dans. You know, do you know the Dapper Dans?
Oh, I see.
So,
right.
So the Dapper Dans are the barbershop quartet that is famously perform on Main Street, right?
Yeah.
And so during the Halloween events, they become the Cadaver Dans and they move over to where the Haunted Mansion is.
Oh, well, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
It's like, who the hell is Dan?
Oh,
why
right.
is he a corpse?
Yeah.
And why is Disney celebrating?
Cadaver Dan. No, it's the Cadaver Dans.
Right.
And so, yeah, they start going over to Haunted Mansion and they start singing nice four-part arrangements of Grim Grinning Ghosts and so on.
And you get special fireworks as well.
Yeah, so there's a special spooky fireworks show.
Right.
And Goofy's running around dressed as a skeleton again, as per, et cetera, et cetera. And,
why
oh, and also
was
you have,
skeleton?
Boy! And also you have Mickey's Boo to You parade, which is a special parade.
Boo to You!
To you. You said yesterday now. that sounds like a very camp thing. It sounds like Bully for You, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, Boo to You.
Boo to You. Well, it sounds like a mid-20th century camp thing to say to someone as a bit of a kind of put down.
Yeah, so you're trying to show off or something and someone goes, say something to show off.
I've just got a new Ferrari.
Boo to You.
Yeah, no, there you go. Little demonstration there.
Yeah?
Yeah. Cool. So that's kind of the main thing that's going on in Florida. But of course, there's all, you know, there's little elements of Halloween all the way through, all the way around the parks.
You would hope so.
You would hope so.
So what about Paris? Where are we going?
Well, Paris has Goofy's Skeleton Parade.
Oh,
for God's
away,
sake, Goofy. And also, so there's some, yeah, there's things like pumpkin soup being sold on Main Street. There's lots of nice pumpkins around on Main Street, etc. And but
nice pumpkins around.
Nice pumpkins.
what qualifies as a nice pumpkin?
Well, you little pumpkins.
What's a nice pumpkin?
Well, they got faces. They're nice.
Yeah, I guess they. Well, happy faces.
Yeah, happy faces. They're nice pumpkins because
they're
warding off the evil spirits.
Yes,
which in a way is not very Halloween, isn't it? It's supposed to be kind of like a celebration of evil spirits.
Yeah, when the spooks come out to play.
Yeah, well, really? I suppose traditionally when it's All Hallows Eve is a Christian celebration, isn't it? So that's actually warding off evil.
Yeah, but here's an interesting thing.
Yeah,
so,
go on.
The whole Day of the Dead thing.
Oh, right. So what, the Dia de los Muertos?
Yeah, that
Mexican.
Disney are embracing. So traditionally, I think it happens completely coincidentally. I think it's the day after Halloween or the couple of days after Halloween.
Right.
But the thing is, it's got nothing to do with Halloween. It's like it's a Mexican celebration that's quite, I think, you know, integral to the culture and very personal.
And it's wrapped up in, it's basically a remembrance of actual close dead family members, isn't it, basically?
I think so. I think it's like celebrating the idea of them in their life. Now, I don't know enough, actually,
well,
about
it's
this.
Celebrating life, I believe, isn't it? That.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. But what I do know is it feels like taking a very, sensitive event.
Uh-huh.
And shoving it into, like, Goofy spooktacular.
Yeah, because there's nothing to do with Halloween, isn't it? And yeah, you're right. Because of the upcoming film Coco, Pixar's new film, which is set against the backdrop of the Mexican Day of the Dead, they're bringing in a lot of these skull elements into Frontierland in Paris, which kind of makes sense because there's one end of that park is Mexican-themed, so it makes sense to have a Coco presence there. But to mix it in with Halloween feels a little insensitive.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm sure the film treats it sensitively.
Yeah.
But I just don't think conflating it with Halloween is a good idea.
Because they quite sensibly, in the Chinese parks, have adapted the Haunted Mansion ride to be better suited to Chinese culture, haven't they?
Yeah, because so the Chinese also have... a lot of their
worship.
Cultural events are around the idea of ancestor worship, and ghosts have a very different emotional cachet in China than they do in Europe.
So in Hong Kong, you don't have a haunted mansion, you have Mystic Manor, which is very different. And then in Shanghai, they don't even have anything like that. So they just decided it wasn't worth doing one in Shanghai.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Day of the Dead.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Coco. The film looks good, and I'm sure Pixar will do it well. But yeah, to mix it up in with Halloween feels a little
It's a bit
dodgy.
Too much like, you know, white people getting
Getting it wrong.
Getting skulls, oh my God, I'm not even going to try and say Day of the Dead skulls tattooed
on themselves. Yeah. It's become the kind of the latest thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you just have to be a bit careful with that kind
of thing. Yeah, especially in the wake of a lot of American racism that's happening at the moment.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's hope they. I'm sure Pixar will do a good job of Coco.
Yeah,
I'm sure it'll
surely.
Be a good film.
I mean, Disney are pretty clued up,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah. But we will, of course, miss all of the Halloween stuff when we're there next week, because I think it finishes tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we won't even really be able to tell you whether it's very culturally insensitive what they do. So yeah, we'll have to live in ignorance about that. Originally, this is a thing that I don't think they do anymore, but I was reading a nice coffee table book called From Sketch to Imagination about Disneyland Paris, which is a very beautiful book, which is, if you can find a copy of it, it's worth checking out. And they have some pictures of when they first started doing Halloween celebrations in Disneyland Paris in the 90s. And it said since 1997, Frontierland got a Halloween overlay, and they did spooky things with the Lucky Nugget Saloon and all that. They sort of made it look almost as if it had been slightly blown up, which is quite cool. So the Lucky Nugget logo thing at the top was sort of hanging off in a jaunty way, and there's, you know, kind of more bullet holes and cobwebs and things hanging off it. So it's as if it's almost like a kind of Western ghost town, which is
nice.
Quite cool.
Yeah.
But the other thing they did was they turned the Molly Brown, the paddle ship, into a ghost ship. So it's covered in cobwebs and sort of sheets like it had been covered up like a wreck, you know.
When was this?
Well, this was obviously in the 90s. Because I don't think they do, because I just saw a picture of it in this book, and I've never seen it like that before, and I don't think they do it anymore, and it's quite cool.
That sounds like a concerted effort to change the feeling of the park.
Yeah,
it?
And change the feeling of an actually very pedestrian attraction, isn't it? The old Molly Brown.
Oh, pedestrian.
Oh, it's very nice. I mean, who doesn't love going on the ships, but they're very pedestrian.
It's kind of set dressing.
Yeah, it is.
Isn't it?
So it's an excuse to go round the lake for the Rivers of the Old West attraction, so you go and look at the geysers that don't work.
It's contributing very much to the atmos, isn't
yeah.
it, of the whole thing, I think.
Yeah, and I think turning that into a ghost ship is something they should definitely bring back.
Yeah, maybe they should do that all the time. That sounds pretty good. Actually, let's talk about Hong Kong very quickly. We have in a previous podcast talked about Hong Kong.
Yes, because one thing that Hong Kong does do that none of the others do is the Maze of Madness attraction.
Yeah, and actually this does not look suitable for small children.
For littles.
So in fact, this is the only Halloween overlay I could probably get really excited about.
Yeah, so the Maze of Madness is a scare maze attraction, as they do in the Universal parks and a lot of other theme parks with a more adult bent.
Yeah.
That looks genuinely frightening. And yeah, we have talked about this in the on the podcast.
Yeah, so
before.
Actually all we'll say is go onto YouTube and look for Maze of Madness in Hong Kong, because it looks amazing.
Yeah, and if anyone is in Hong Kong, I think this is probably today and tomorrow, I think, are your last chances to check out the Maze of Madness.
Someone tell us what it's like, please.
Yeah. So do go and have a look at that.
Can I do my brilliant idea now?
Yeah, okay, go on then. So this is our backseat Imagineering part of the show. Lindsay's had an excellent idea for something that you could do in all of the Disney parks that would give a unique twist on Halloween extravaganzas.
Okay.
That would be different in each one.
Okay.
Go on. Take over.
So, okay, the spooky houses in each of the parks.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no point putting a few extra pumpkins on their porches and leaving it at that.
Because they wouldn't do that, they wouldn't be interested in that.
No, because who's putting them on there? If the house is haunted, who's putting the pumpkins there? The pumpkins are to scare away the spirits. So surely if the spirits are in charge of each of these places...
Which we assume they are.
Then Halloween is their party night. This is the night they come out and that they're allowed beyond their normal boundaries.
Yeah.
So why not, on Halloween, have Phantom Manor or Haunted Mansion open its doors?
Right.
And all the ghosts, so the 99 ghosts... Is it 99?
999
ghosts. Mine was a lot more underwhelming.
Yes.
Have them come
the
out.
Nine ghosts.
The nine... individual ghosts.
All nine of them come
out. But you have these ghosts come out and they can infiltrate their particular area, so whether they're in Adventureland or whatever, Frontierland and all the rest of it. Have them infiltrate the whole park, but mainly the area that they're in.
And if given that Halloween apparently starts in August, you could do some really good stuff. You could do some kind of semi-permanent stuff that is really well suited and well designed and well suited to the environments in which each park's particular mansion sits, right?
Yeah, well, what, do you mean the kind of experiential?
Yeah, so you could have some sort of scare maze type stuff, the way they do in the Universal parks, these pop-up environments.
Yeah.
And you could also just have some, you know, like the Headless Horseman in California Adventure, which is kind of, it's not permanent, but it is very nice. And it's like, it's good. It looks like something that could stay in place.
Yeah, yeah. And you could give each of them little stories. So if you, you know, you could have a ghost that decides that they want to haunt a specific ride for the duration of the time.
Oh,
and
nice.
So you set up a little temporary story about how their emotional connection to wherever place it is, even if it's a gift shop or something.
Right.
You know, and in fact, why not get all the cast members, as in the like the shop assistants and things,
yes,
to be some of these ghosts.
Play the characters of whatever mansion
they're nearby. Yeah, come out of the mansion and have infiltrated the rest of the park. And they'll go back in once Halloween is over.
Yeah, yeah. So the Hatbox ghost has taken over Buzz Lightyear's Astro.
because of a thing that happened many years ago with him and Buzz.
But this is a really good idea, I think, because each one is so different. So in Florida and Tokyo, the Haunted Mansion sits in Liberty Square, which
evokes the idea of pioneers and early settlers.
Yeah.
Sleepy Hollow era imagery.
It is. This is like 18th century. My American history is not very good. When is it sort of 17th, 18th century?
We could put in one of those little factoid things.
Or just not.
Just not.
Yeah, just guess.
Yeah.
Just
you
guess.
You know what we mean anyway.
Yeah.
So then those kind of ghosts could infiltrate, Liberty Square.
Yeah.
So it's not Goofy in a friggin' cape and a pair of fangs. It's an actual appropriate ghost from the house.
So it's ghosts from the nearby mansion that is themed to the surrounding area that they walk around. So nothing jars in the same way that it does.
So like in Paris, it's in Frontierland.
Right.
So Phantom
Manor
is in Frontierland. So.
Oh, and what a tradition to be found in Western films and Western stories about ghosts in the American Old West.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have... There was a very good downloadable bit for the game Red Dead Redemption, which is by Rockstar Games, which is an excellent game. Mm. And there was a thing where you could download Undead Nightmare, which was a new chapter, where suddenly your characters in the Old West are in the middle of the zombie apocalypse.
So zombie cowboys.
Yeah.
People love zombies.
It worked really well.
No matter how many times zombies are done, people continue to love zombies.
Yeah, people still love zombies because as long as people die, zombies will always be relevant because zombies are representative of the unavoidable creep of death. That was
true.
The original idea behind zombies, I think, isn't it? Yeah.
So Anaheim, the Haunted Mansion is in New Orleans Square. Another brilliantly evocative place for a spooky house.
Yeah, so
I mean, obviously they've deliberately put the spooky houses in the most relevant spooky places.
In places where you could have...
But I mean, New Orleans, you've got witches and voodoo, and there's a long tradition of the supernatural. Anne Rice's homoerotic vampires.
Oh, yeah. Yes, of course.
I was a big fan of as a teenager.
And the American Horror Story Witch's Coven series was all set in New Orleans with Kathy Burke and that.
Oh, God,
not Kathy Burke, Kathy Bates. Kathy Burke was in it.
Kathy Burke would be a great ghost, though.
Yeah, it would be great to have Kathy Burke in American Horror Story.
She's
Bates is what I meant.
Yeah. So, imagine that. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, and then in Hong Kong...
around New Orleans.
In Hong Kong, the Mystic Manor in Hong Kong is set in Mystic Point, which is the area of the park in Hong Kong.
Oh, yeah, so this is interesting, because it's actually Papua New Guinea, isn't it?
It's a
jungle.
So because they don't really do ghosts, they haven't really set the scary house. They haven't given it a ghost feel. Instead...
It's more like a terrifying abandoned place where bad things happen.
So you have this... the story of the park is that you have a British explorer called Lord Henry Mystic, who was exploring the jungles of Papua New Guinea, and he stumbled across this, this mysterious place, uncharted terrain, and he built a big Victorian mansion, and you're invited to come in and look at all his specimens and his weird, creepy... So it's got a kind of Lost World style thing. You've got this Victorian British explorer in an uncharted jungle, and this is his thing.
That's
so
nice.
You could have, a kind of more like...
Or an Island of Dr. Maru.
Yeah, yeah. You could have a sort of Victorian...
Experimented animals. Oh, that's
been yeah, great. Yeah. You could have the exotic Victorian Gothic stuff going on in there.
Yeah, yeah. So the specimens can crawl out of the jars and into the rest of the park.
Into the rest of the park. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's near... I think it's like it's near Fantasyland as well, Mystic Point. So you could even have them start to invade into Fantasyland a bit.
Ooh, yeah. Maybe on certain nights it could infiltrate the rest of the park. So it stays to a certain area. And then maybe on Halloween night itself.
Or just after dark, maybe.
Yeah. I just feel like if you're going to spread Halloween out amongst like 3 months,
yeah.
You're kind of diluting it a bit. So
well,
maybe
slightly.
What you should do is have at least something different for actual Halloween night.
Mm.
So you have maybe the ghosts infiltrating their area for the other 3 months.
Right.
And then on Halloween night, they infiltrate the whole
They're everywhere. Park. They're everywhere. Yeah.
And then an exorcism has to happen
oh, right.
to shove them back into the house.
Oh, okay. So what, at midnight on Halloween?
You get Ghostbusters trapping
yeah,
them
they turn
there.
Up with their things. Or you yeah. get the power of Christ compels you and they all have to go
yeah,
back into
Yeah, how cool would that be?
Ah, the Disney exorcism would be
oh,
great.
Is my interview for being an Imagineer in the post?
Yeah.
Not that you can put an interview in the post.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway.
What was the other idea that you had?
That was it, wasn't it?
Well, you had an idea about Big Thunder Mountain.
Oh, I did. Okay, so once when we were on Big Thunder Mountain in Paris, it broke down and we had to get off the ride and go into the mountain itself.
It was very exciting.
And under the, what do you call it? Sort of river that surrounds Big Thunder Mountain.
Yes, yeah, the lake.
The lake, yes. Because it's like a mountain in the middle of a lake with a roller coaster.
Yeah, in
it.
Paris, the Big Thunder Mountain ride sits on its own island, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Surrounded by water.
Very
which is,
cool.
I think it's the only one in the world where
so
that is.
So when we were evacuated, we had to go through the hollow mountain. And
yeah.
they were basically like, please don't tell anyone. Oh, not like that, because they're not American.
Yeah.
Please do not tell anyone about disease.
Yeah, so we are now announcing on a podcast that Big Thunder Mountain, shock horror guys, it's hollow. Yeah.
So,
yeah,
and we went under the water. We walked under the water.
We walked under the
water.
Well, first we went into the mountain itself, and you could see all of the generators and stuff. That actually power the rides, and you can see the actual colour of the concrete, which is kind of interesting.
The colour of the concrete is interesting.
Yeah, but it's just like you're in this.
Oh my god, it's grey.
Oh, fine, I see. Oh, just piss all over my.
Who would have thought?
Yeah. Well, actually, you can see what the colour of the concrete is like because those stupid geysers next to Boot Hill. Have been, well, they've been repainted now, but for years and years and years, they've been not working and just slowly turning more grey as the paint wears away.
Yeah, that was a strange omission in the upkeep.
Well,
but anyway,
they just didn't have
the
money.
My Halloween idea.
Yeah.
So basically, it's a huge area under there.
Yeah.
Why not turn it into like the upside down in Stranger Things?
Right. So you're saying that that every time anyone goes on Big Thunder Mountain, they stop the ride halfway through.
I'm afraid we've had a spooky
malfunction. What they do in Phantom Manor when they go, playful spooks have interrupted our tour.
Yeah, yeah. And then you get some kind of spooky man coming and going, please get out of your cart and follow me.
Yeah, through another dimension.
Yeah, yeah. And then he opens a door in a mountain. Why is there a door in a mountain?
And it's hollow in the mountain. And the mountain is full of electrical equipment from 1992.
Well, no.
Yeah.
If they, hid it. Basically.
Right. So you're saying that they should decorate the interior of the ride,
yeah.
And actually, for a brief time, guests to come into the inner workings of the ride.
Yeah, and he'd be like, please do not touch anything, otherwise terrible things
yes,
will happen.
Yes, like you will get electrocuted, like actually happened to that man a few years ago in Phantom Manor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a cast member, remember that?
Yeah.
So they have to make sure it was safe.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
But,
seriously, don't touch that!
Really, please don't touch that thing.
Or you will pass over to the other side.
But it was cool, though. Like you could imagine that you could get something very exciting. It was very interesting to see the inside of the tunnel where you go under the lake.
It was super cool.
Because obviously it's dark in there. You can't see it. When you go on the train through that tunnel,
dark
you can't see a thing. But there's actually quite a wide walkway along the side where you can walk down.
Yeah, yeah.
For this reason.
For the engineers and things, obviously. Yeah, and the upkeepers the keeper uppers.
The keeper uppers.
Yeah, they just turn it with the football. That's their,
it's like
the
Imagineers and keeper uppers. Those are the two main professions in Disney parks.
But yeah, like, it was just an idea. It could be like a journey through the underworld where he's where you're told not to look back.
Yeah, yeah. You could even make it like a journey to the centre of the earth thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which is on brand. So there we go. It is. Whereas Stranger Things might be slightly off brand.
Off brand.
Yeah.
But very on trend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there we go. There are my brilliant backseat Imagineering ideas for this week.
They're very good. And of course, you still have basically today and tomorrow to enjoy all of the Halloween stuff in all the Disney parks, if that floats your boat.
Yeah.
We're going to be there next week, so we'll be reporting from the field
live-ish. Sort of.
If there's anything you particularly want us to report on, do get in touch with us this week, because we're going to be there soon. We can look at all of the new editions. We're going to be looking at the new Star Tours and Star Wars editions, of course. We have not yet ridden the refurbished Pirates of the Caribbean. We have not ridden the refurbished Big Thunder Mountain yet.
Yeah.
And all of the repainting that they've done in Frontierland. Hopefully it'll look as good as it did on opening day.
Yay!
It'll be nice to see it all.
Yeah.
So do let us know if there's anything you particularly want us to cover.
Where are we staying as well?
We're staying at the Hotel Cheyenne.
That's right.
Yes.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Show us your balls. Which doesn't make any sense if you haven't listened to our previous episodes, but we'll leave that hanging there. So if you want to talk to us or ask us to check out any particular thing in Disneyland Paris while we're there, please email us at adultsdodisney@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at adultsdodisney. We have a YouTube channel now at adultsdodisney. We'll put some footage up from our trip. So please do get in touch. We always love to hear from you.
Yeah.
See you soon.
Have a creepy day.
Creepy spooky day.
Fantastic day!